if we can continue in Ephesians today, maybe we can get through this chapter. I'm not real sure about that. And I can fuss around forever. And you know, when we think about the goodness of God, He takes care of us, doesn't He? The foundations, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And John tells us, they tell you the truth. Jesus said, those who listen to my message and believe in God, who sent me, have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. And he says in his epistle, and this is what God has testified, he has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. Now that's pretty direct words, isn't it? I've used that often in funeral services. Some people don't like that. A few people might. But I've had people just kind of frown when I give those words. But they're God's word. And we have to do what it is. So reviewing a little bit in chapter 4. Remember he said, for this is one body, for there is one body and one spirit. Just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and living through all. Oneness. Only one. You know, the world does not like absolutes. They don't like an absolute. They try to twist it around, figure out some idea, and then get around something that they don't like. But there are absolutes. And even the top philosophers have to admit sometimes that they have to follow certain rules that are in the universe. And they know that there are certain truths. Whatever is going up, it's going to have to fall down because of gravity, right? Gravity is a law of the physics. And physics is real. And they don't question that. Yeah, that's the way it is. But you give them an absolute from the law of God, and they don't like it. Our society has gone amok.
The question is, who created the absolute laws of physics?
Yeah, where'd they come from?
Yeah. Didn't come out of thin air.
Yeah. And as we have said many times, every culture has moral laws. They know that there is something that is right and wrong. They don't always necessarily understand it all, but in every culture there is a sense of right and wrong. They don't always do it well. They don't like the tribe next door that doesn't do it the way they do it. So they kill them because they don't like them. But they don't like them to do it to him, to themselves. That's why they have to get rid of the other tribes, because the other tribe doesn't like them either. That's the moral debacle it is in society, isn't it?
Well, as Romans 8 says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God.
Yep, exactly. How dare you quote scripture? Someone's always got to do something like that. And, you know, we've been reading, Psalm 119. And we don't know that the author is for sure, but it tells us about God's word and tells us that we can even meditate on it in the night. You ever meditate on God's word in the night? Something that you've read and something that you've read or just studied recently? That's a good thing to do, to meditate on God's word. And when you read some of the scriptures, Jeremiah has a lot of object lessons. He has object lessons of that God gave him of figs. Remember, there is a basket of good figs and a basket of rotten figs. And then he had the message from God that the people didn't like very well. He'd been telling them all along that they were going to be captured by the Babylonians. And the other prophets said, don't speak bad things to us. We don't want to hear that. That's not good news. Tell them that everything's going to be all right. There's going to be peace. Tell them that. People want to hear the good things. And so they didn't like Jeremiah, and they put him in stocks and beat him and all those kinds of things. But then he gave a message about the good figs and the rotten figs. The good figs, he said, were going to be those who were taken captive into Babylon. The ones that had been taken captive. And you remember it tells us that they took all the king's palace and all the royal people and all the artisans and those that knew things, had knowledge and wisdom. They took all of them to Babylon. And God said he was going to bless them. They were the good figs. And then he said the bad figs were those that stayed in Jerusalem and those that went to Egypt for help. And they were all going to be destroyed. All of them. There was going to be none of them spared. The temple was going to be destroyed. The city's walls were going to be broken down. And the people were going to be starved to death and all die of famine, plague, or war. They were going to die from them all. They didn't like that message. But that was God's message to them. Sometimes we hear things in the Word that we don't particularly like. People want to hear something different. And I was thinking about as I drive by a number of churches on the way here, and I pray that they'll preach the Word. They'll teach the Word and that the Lord's Holy Spirit would bless them. I don't know, maybe one of the pastors I might know, but most of them I don't. But I pray that they would have truth, and hear truth. And God would reach down by his Spirit to bless them. God knows. I don't. God knows. And the Word says it right. Ever read something in the scripture that you don't like? Ever read something that you don't like? Says it like it is? And all of a sudden you think, oh boy. And you read in there and it says, God be merciful to me because I'm a sinner. And God be merciful because I am not worthy of your kingdom. But then he says, I love you anyway. I love you anyway. And that's the safeguard, isn't it? And it's all because of Jesus. And there's only one way of life. There's only one purpose. One Lord, one faith. That's all there is. And you can't go to heaven. And the picture we always get of going to St. Peter at the pearly gates and say, I've always been a good Mormon. I need to be here. I've always been a good Jehovah's Witness. I need to be here. And if we use that analogy of St. Peter, he'd have to say, do you know Jesus? Do you know the real Jesus? And you know, there are a lot of people in our churches that God has asked them the same question. Do you really know Jesus and listen to him? And then we have to ask the Lord, perhaps in our prayer, Lord, do I really love you like I should? How do I know that I love you? And then he says, listen to my word and do it. Don't just talk about it. Do it. And as we walk through life, we better learn to practice the holiness of God. And all throughout Scripture, God says, be holy because I am holy. Do we do that perfectly? I don't. So we have to ask him to help us be holy. And that's what Jesus does. He's forgiven us, but he has to help us to be holy. So those are prayers that we have to make all along, isn't it? And then he tells us there's special gifts. Christ gives that generously. And he says, that's why he sent on high to let captives captive and gave gifts to his people. Notice it says he ascended. That clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. There's a couple of things that really are hard to understand. One of them is, why did Christ sacrifice himself for us? He descended to be one of us. And then he ascended back to heaven. And he created it all. And that's beyond my understanding. I wonder about God's creation. And I read somewhere, someone made a statement that God didn't just snap his fingers and everything was there. God designed everything. He made them and perfected them. And I think about that, there's so much in creation. Any of you ever like to watch bees? Bumblebees, honeybees? Most of us don't like hornets too well. But you ever watch bees? Isn't it marvelous? I see them all the time, you know, in bushes, sucking out the nectar. I don't even see it there. How can they find it? But God designed them to do that. And sometimes you better not mess with them. Especially if you find a hive hanging on your eaves. Don't knock it with a baseball bat. But God designed it, and it's perfect. God designed the trees and the plants. And we like the plants that especially grow fruit, right? We like the plants that have life in them. I wonder what our government is going to do when they find out that their plants give out carbon dioxide. What are they going to do about that? They already want to get rid of the cows. And man can be stupid because they don't know their creator. And you look at the hurricane that just happened on the East Coast. One of the worst that has ever hit the country, even though it was only a Category 4. Now, that's pretty big. But everything that followed, the wind and the rain, destroyed so much the part of the country. More than most of the hurricanes that have hit. And there's been some deadly ones. Pretty sad. Okay, we all have special gifts. God wants to use us for those gifts. So let's move on and get off of that. We got on our hobby horse here. And then he said, these are his gifts. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, teachers. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. And that's what we were talking about. The church was doing it in that tragedy in our weeks here. And then he said, this will continue till we all reach unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, so that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind and new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. Oh, isn't that what's happening today? Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's our goal. So then he talks about our lifestyle. He said, with the Lord's authority, I say this. Live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Isn't that what's happening in the world today? And you even look at, we were talking about the Palestinians, which are really the Philistines of the old days. There was no Palestine ever before they tried to make it so. But you look at the people, Hamas, Hezbollah, those that are in Iran, the Ayatollah, and the Muslim nations around it, they have no sense of shame, do they? They don't care what happens to people. They're evil. They don't care for truth. And Paul was saying, that's how you used to be. until Jesus came in. And he wants to set you free from that. That's your old life. And that old life is rearing its head today when you see the demonstrations that have been around for a number of years now. They're evil. And lies are considered truth. And it's true because I said it, not because it's true. If I say it's true, it's true. And that's what's happening in our society today. That's what's happening in the news media. The news media only speaks their mind. And they say, you better believe it because I said it. It's true. And if I'm Orpha, you better believe it. Right? Because I always speak truth. So anyway, their hearts and minds are hardened. And when you think about the evil that Hamas has done to those that they captured and those that they invaded the land on October 6th, when you think about that, they have no sense of shame, do they? They don't care. And when you are becoming targets for IDF in Lebanon, so what? You got a bunch of rockets in the basement of your house. A bunch of guns and ammunition and explosives. So what if you're people who live there? Go ahead and put them in the basement. You're obligated to do that. If you love Lebanon, you put these in your basement. And then when Israel comes in, you stay in your house. Doesn't matter if you get blown up. You're just people. You're just fodder. And we see that not just there, but in our land in different ways. Synagogues, churches, they're fodder. And so they're doomed to destruction, even as the Lord told us in Revelation. And then Paul uses the word but. Whenever he says that, there's something different, but. That isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. And you see that all the time, don't you? Looking at some of the things even on YouTube or internet, all of a sudden it'll go to something very lustful. And even about former President Trump's wife, it would say something lustful. That she posed nude. I saw an article that said that she posed nude. And they want you to look at that. And then they'll have an article about someone else. That's the kind of things you see on your phone and everything else. But you have not learned Christ that way, he said. So give it up. And that's going to be a struggle in life in each one of us for different things because of our human nature. And he says, get rid of that old nature and believe in Christ. And go to the new nature. And here's what it says. He said, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. I think when all of us in life, we've learned that, haven't we? There's times that we've been angry, and we get into trouble, don't we, whenever we get angry. And he's talking about angry with people. Are the people you're angry with? Oh, yeah. Did David ever get angry with the other people around him? Yeah, he did. But he also had that anger. He wanted God to be uplifted, not his anger to be in control. And in the Old Testament, God used that anger to defeat the enemy. But we're not in anger to shoot people. We don't go down the freeway and shoot the car that cut us off in front, even though we wanted to sometimes. But people have done that. So an article I was watching the other day about a motorcycle guy that was speeding. And I think this was back in Arkansas or someplace there. And he was going over 120 miles an hour on the bike and weaving in and out of traffic. And cop was behind him, you know, trying to catch up with him, and of course couldn't. And of course he radioed ahead, and other cops were joining him even from the opposite direction, and went across the median to get in front of him and try to head him off. And finally a few of the cop cars basically blocked the road, and the guy had to go off the side of the road into the pits, into the grass. And guy protested as innocent. What'd I do? What'd I do? And so anyway, it was scary, but laughable at the same time. Stupid. So don't use anger to control you. Give it to the Lord. And don't go to sleep on anger. That's probably one of the best things you can say about marriage. Don't go to bed angry about your spouse. Do any of us ever get angry at our spouse? Come on, anyone? Yeah, if anyone says they don't, they're lying. So anyway, good instruction here, isn't it? Good instruction. And then here's what he says, stop. If you are, that's what Eliot was saying. Stop. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work. And then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear him. What do you say when you hit your thumb with a hammer? And if it's anything beyond ouch, be careful. And, you know, some of us have old habits. And I remember my dad. My dad was a very gentle person, and but he hated wrong. He hated wrong. And I never heard him ever use swear words. He never did. He never did. I think the worst word he ever used was heck. And I don't know why he had a nickname called heck. And maybe he used that too often. But that was the nickname from his family. He was called Heck. Don't use that language. You know, they always make the comment that you speak like a drunken sailor. why does a drunken sailor say all these words, you know? And we've seen that, unfortunately. And so Paul is saying, change that. Change that. And I can remember when the Lord taught me some of those things when I was a teenager. And he basically said, don't use that kind of language when I was prone to do something like that. So he had to change me. Hopefully he has continued that process. And when you something really goes bad, what do you say? And I have to say, thank you that it wasn't worse. Thank you that I didn't do a bad thing then. Thank you that you're with me and keep me. So maybe a thank you is a good word to use. I don't know. But don't use abusive language. But say what is good and helpful to encourage everyone. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Notice that. Guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. That's a pretty marvelous phrase right there. Peter in 1 Peter 1 says that our salvation is guaranteed. And then he said, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Forgiveness. Marvelous blessing from God. Forgiveness. I can remember down in California, and I think it was probably the first time that I ever had a new car, and I really looked forward to it, and was driving down this road in Lancaster, and got in the left lane, and I was probably in a blind spot, you know, because you don't see too much, especially in the right, and that was before all the closer right-hand mirrors were on. She pulled over and decided she smacked the side of my car. That poor lady, when we pulled over to the side and she got off, it didn't do that much damage. She thought I was going to yell at her or scream at her. And I just said, you know, I'm sorry this happened. And I gave her a thing, you know, I'd forgiven her already. I didn't even scream at her or yell at her. She was so surprised. She was so pleased that I didn't take her to court, you know, and yell at her and scream at her. That was one time I did something right, and maybe the only time, but it was one time I did something right. And but that's forgiveness, isn't it? You forgive, and when you forgive, even when someone has done something evil to you, but the thing that builds bitterness in people's life is unforgiveness. And when that develops into bitterness, and that person really has a lot of hard knocks in life, and they are very unhappy. People who are unforgiving are unhappy. Okay, so remove these things, rage, bitterness, anger, harsh words, slander, all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. So we've always concluded with these words recently. Citizens of heaven, we are. And that's where Jesus lives. And we're eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Revelation says he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty God. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that that's who you are. And you know, we can praise you and thank you that because of your name and your gift of salvation to us, our redemption awaits us in heaven. And it's written there with indelible ink on the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Lord, for that redemption, that you are a redeemer, and that you love us with undying love. Thank you. Thank you and praise your name. We want to give glory to you because of that. Help us to do that better every day. And give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom.